welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, broadcasting live here from our studios. And our studios are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you on this Thursday morning. We hope you'll have the opportunity to stay with us for our entire broadcast, which will last about 45 minutes. And we also want to extend the invitation to our listeners to join us during the broadcast. Our phone lines will be open. All you need to do is get to a phone, dial one of these numbers, and you can participate in our Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. And the local number is 410-483-3700. My name is Pastor John Love. We're joined in the studio today by Pastor Tom Schaller, and we're ready to get things started. And we want to thank you for joining us. And again, the invitation to participate is available to you. Don't forget, we have the chat line. You can share your thoughts, ask your questions, share your comments with us that way, or pick up a phone as we get things started here on this Thursday morning. Our theme today, in particular, is picking up your cross. And, of course, discipleship is the theme throughout this week. The passage that we've been looking at, you've been listening to, if you've tuned in this week on the Grace Hour, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And today, as we said, we'll be focusing on that theme of what it means to pick up your cross. And hopefully we can share some thoughts in a very practical way on what that means. But Pastor Schaller, it's clear that when it comes to discipleship, denying oneself, taking up one's cross, is crucial to the process of becoming a disciple. And we talked earlier before the broadcast that you can be a believer, but not necessarily be a disciple. Many people want to trust Christ because they want salvation, but then they look at what it means to follow him, and they think, well, maybe that's a price I'm not willing to pay. But there seems to be somewhat of a mystery about the cross, because you would think when Jesus spoke about it to his disciples that you're talking about losing your life. That prospect to a lot of people does not sound very inviting. Yet we know that it's really the pathway to the abundant life that he promised us as believers.
The where to start on the subject, the sin nature of man being contradictory to God, and yet we live in a world, he allows us to live 70 years and maybe longer, but with a sin nature. And because of sin and the pleasure of it, we feel that's the way that we should live. You know, we live with what John says, 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Well, that's what we do. We love the world and the things that are in the world, and we just say, you know, it's almost like chocolate covered poison. You know, we like it in the beginning, and then it hits us and we go, what's wrong? What happened? You know, life is not a cherry, you know, like it's tough, and like, what happened? And well, it's my sin nature that is contrary to God and the world that he made. The way he made it and the way he made us is really for himself. But that's where we wrestle. We could get saved, you know, by faith in Christ because we are convicted of our sin. But then how do we live our life? And so we have the theme today.
Yeah. And the cross, maybe a good working definition of the cross is, it's the focal point of the greatest expression of God's love for mankind. Yet at the same time, for the believer, it's the focal point of self-renunciation, where we deny self, and we make a decision to take up our cross, which again doesn't sound very inviting. But just to quote from Samuel Rutherford, a 17th century theologian, he said, The cross of Christ is the sweetest burden that I have ever borne. It is such a burden as wings are to a bird or sails to a ship to carry me forward to my desired heaven.
Mm.
A good illustration of when you really embrace the cross and you have an understanding biblically of what it means, it just makes so much sense to the spiritually minded person.
Yeah, it's almost like a curveball, you know, like it looks bad, but it's actually good. And the world looks good, but it's actually bad.
Mm.
And Lot lifted up his eyes. He saw Sodom and Gomorrah as a good land, like the Garden of Eden, but he found it to be miserable. And we can do that with everything in life, whether it's my family, where I live, my career. Everything in life should go to the cross. And that is where I will look at the thing with reality, the God's eyes. I want to look at the thing from God's viewpoint and just recognize what it really is and relate to it that way.
Mm. You know, there are some statements, some things that you could hear that sound so appealing to people, but yet at the same time are so dangerous. One such expression, and we heard this expression decades ago when we were in New England and had our Bible college. There was a teacher who he used this expression a lot, which was follow your heart. Doesn't that sound so good? I mean, you know, some people would say, well, of course you want to follow your heart. Listen to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
As you started out the program today talking about this, the problem of sin in the human race, that's where we run into some real serious problems. Because if your intention is to follow your heart, you've got to understand and comprehend with that statement, you've got a sinful heart.
Yeah.
You've got depravity in your heart. That's going to lead to a lot of problems, a lot of trouble.
Yeah. I mean, if you follow your heart, you might divorce your wife and marry another woman, you know, within 3 months' time. But is that the right decision? You follow your heart, you're going to move to a warm climate, you know, a warm climate in the Caribbean or something. If you follow your heart, you're going to make a decision for this career or job or that one. And then a year later, your heart changes. There's a proverb that says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. So that's a good warning to me that it seems right. And that means I'm following my heart. I mean, we could use it that way. I'm following my heart. I'm doing what seems right. But then there is the end game is something bad.
Mm. And this is where, you know, our theme and subject this week, and in particular today, picking up your cross, that's where the challenge comes in for believers.
Yeah, in a word, the cross is Adam. There's two Adams. The Adam is the first man made by God. And basically he said, my will be done. I'm doing my thing. I'm eating of this fruit that is forbidden. I'm doing it. It's my decision. My will be done. When the second Adam came, Jesus Christ, he said, not my will, but your will be done. So there's the difference between the two. And the end game in each one is significantly different from the other. Adam dies, Christ is raised from the dead.
Hmm. Yeah, it's like night and day. Is there any significance to the fact that Jesus was speaking to his disciples here in Matthew chapter 16 and in other portions of the Gospels about taking up their cross when he had not yet gone to the cross?
Yeah, okay.
How do you suppose that was received by his disciples? Because I would imagine when they thought of the cross, they think, well, you're a criminal. You're going to be put to death.
Yeah.
That means death.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Jesus had spoken to them about it. He was reiterating it over and over again, but he had not yet gone to the cross himself.
Yeah, but it was preparation for their future. it was teaching that would relate to them after the cross. And so he told them before and probably during the 40 days after, he probably said the same to them. We don't know that, but I think we could find, John 21, when he said to Peter, when you were young, you went your way, but when you're old, you another one will gird you. But I think the question is, how did the disciples hear that message? And when it hadn't yet happened, so they don't have a visual reference, but maybe they have seen somebody hang on a cross. We don't really know that, but maybe they knew what it was. But it does seem like they, when he said that he had to go to the cross, be raised on the third day, it seems like that message didn't really resonate with them. So it might be that he said that to them, but it might be that they didn't really understand what he was talking about.
Well, Peter in particular said, I'll make sure that doesn't happen. That will never happen. And that's when, Jesus actually rebuked him and said that that kind of thinking is satanically inspired.
Yeah.
So clearly their idea and impression of an abundant life was avoiding the cross. Stay away from the cross. Don't let that ever happen. Whereas Jesus said, no, this is the way to life. And I think for the believer today, taking up his or her cross is when life really begins to happen.
Yeah. Yeah,
you start to really understand it.
And maybe we can talk about that in some practical ways. Pastor Love, maybe testimonies by you and myself where maybe you felt self-pity, maybe even something as practical as being at home in the house, and maybe your wife doesn't give you your favorite food or doesn't take care of you like the way you would like, and then you start to pout a little bit and be like a child, a little boy, you catch yourself and realize, what a baby I am and how foolish that is for me to blame my wife for something, which is like ridiculous, Has that ever happened to you?
I'm sorry to admit publicly that yes, it has.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we can all live like that.
Yeah.
But, and I don't want to relate it to what you shared last night, living on the inside and having a grateful heart as you live and walk before God in his presence. You come into his presence. There's praise. There's gratitude. There's joy. There's life. You maintain that kind of a fellowship with God on the inside, then whatever's put in front of you is a gift from God, and you say, thank you, Lord, and thank you to the person who prepared it.
Yeah. That's a very good point.
Yeah, that was good. I think that was the essence of the message last night, which was, striking.
I'm glad that came across, because, I mean, that's what we were trying to say. You enter the house of God and you have this praise and this new heart exercise. So then when you walk out and you encounter these things on the outside and even bubbling up from your own wicked heart, you're able to tag it, recognize it for what it is and not relate to it, give it authority. Mm. But that's taking up your cross.
Yeah, in a very practical way. And I remember when we first came into the ministry, and the opportunity to serve in the ministry was made available. And, we began to say, yes, I'll do that. I'm available to do that. I'll be a part of that ministry. It looked like your life was being consumed by those things. I think we might even still hear it to this day, well-meaning people saying, well, your life is all about the church, or your life is all about your ministry and going to church and hearing the Bible and having classes. But we've discovered that that kind of fellowship with God on a consistent, routine basis is the secret of abundant life.
Yes, it is.
We enjoy it so much.
Yes, it is. It is.
We're not losing out. In other words, serving God wholeheartedly, there's no thinking like, I'm being robbed, I'm being ripped off, I'm not getting the kind of life that other people are experiencing. I think a lot of other people that live their lives without God, whether they recognize it in the middle of their lives or toward the end of their lives, they realize, wow, you know, everything I've done means nothing. But the believer can come to the end of his or her life and say, this has been rich, this has been full, this has been abundant life.
What is that when you take up the cross? Like I understand that in this program, let me get the verse exactly. It's Matthew 16:24. It says, if any man will come after me, that's number one, let him deny himself. Number two, take up his cross. Number three, and follow me. So our part today in the program is to take up his cross. So I don't know that the listeners really know exactly how that works. How would you advise? Let's say somebody, they don't really know what we're talking about. What would you do? How would you explain that to them?
I think we're challenged once we become believers to let God choose for us. If as believers we've realized, if I continue to direct the course of my own life, make the decisions, call the shots, there's something corrupt within my soul. It's going to, you mentioned earlier about Lot. What did he do? But he lifted up his eyes. And then that led to, you know, pitching his tent towards Sodom. And then that led to eventually going there. But look at the results of what happened. I think for the believer, when they get saved, the Holy Spirit begins to challenge them to live a life of discipleship, which is an option now. I mean, it seems pretty clear in the Bible that to be saved, you must be born again. Mm. But the options then are available to the believer because, again, that word if, Jesus said, if any man will come after me. So he clearly is focusing on discipleship. And when we're challenged to be disciples, I think you've got to make the decision. Am I going to be the person who makes these decisions and calls the shots and determines the direction, course of my life, or am I going to give God that choice? So when the option is present to choose for myself, I say, as you said earlier, not my will, but thy will be done.
Mm-hmm.
So we choose the path that God has ordained for us, which I believe can be revealed to us through the scriptures, through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. If we need assistance, we seek out, you know, believers that have some experience, that, you know, they're veterans, they've walked with God for many years, they can give advice, counsel, guidance. So it's getting to that crossroads where you say, look, I've already been behind the wheel, and it's been a wreck.
Mm-hmm.
I want God to take over my life, and I will let him choose for me because I know he will choose better for me than I could choose for myself.
What about if you're just to say there's a guy that took over the wheel and it hasn't been a wreck, it's been just the opposite. It's been success after success.
I still think you have to be careful because sometimes that kind of success could be the work of the devil.
Yeah.
Because you never sense your need for God.
Yeah.
Uninterrupted success has a way of intoxicating the soul.
Yeah.
But when you reach a crisis point, and maybe you think, you know what, I can't handle this, there could be something in you that says maybe you need help. Maybe you need to turn to God himself. Maybe you need to trust him because it's not working. the way you hoped it would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that exactly. could be, I think the perpetual success could be dangerous.
Oh, sure, sure. And then the crash can come, you know. Nebuchadnezzar was a world-class leader of an empire that came and went, but he did have the idea that this was because of him and that pride. And the Lord from heaven said, well, I want to teach you a lesson, and made him like an animal for 7 years, maybe it was, or seven periods of time, and then humbled him and brought him back. He was fortunate that God gave him the grace and the lesson to humble him, because that doesn't always happen to people.
Right, right.
But we got the very practical things like, everyday life. And just, I think when you have the cross teaching in your life, you always have something that helps you relate. Let's say you're going to catch the bus. You miss the bus. So you have a teaching that helps you to relate to God.
Yeah.
And you take the cross. Okay, Lord, I miss my bus. It's a disappointment. I'm going to miss the birthday party. I'm going to miss my whole day has changed everything because I missed the bus. But I have you. You know,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, a doctor's appointment, a career opportunity, a relationship. But when I have the cross, what would you?
I have to turn to, I have to, I look to that inward life and say, you know what? That was something that maybe I could have or could not have controlled. So I'm just going to have to trust God that maybe his plan is going to be better than what I had planned for that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to, just going to keep looking to him. I'm not going to allow those circumstances to determine the outcome of my attitude towards life.
And then there may be in that attitude and in that faith, there is the release of power, that the anointing of God. So I'm at the bus stop. The bus is gone. My whole day has changed in a practical way. But I relate to God in faith. And then there's a... I'm alive. I'm thankful. I relate to God, and then there can be, I don't want to make it sound mechanical, but me relating to God may result in something that really glorifies Him.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, we said that the phone lines would be open. They are. You can join us locally here in Baltimore at 410-483-3700. And then outside of the Baltimore area, the toll-free number in North America, 800-338-7060. And Alan is joining us on the Grace Hour and wants to share a comment. Alan, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Pastor Love and Pastor Shyla. Boy, it's amazing what you're talking about, taking up your cross. I never imagined what that verse said about if any man... I'm one of those men who will come after me, and I came, and take up your cross and follow me. The results of a lifetime of heartache, pain, as Pastor Shiloh said, that the person that lives on the outside of the cup, people look at you as who you are, and they look at what you become, that your name that you make of yourself and who is important there. But God looks at the inside of the cup and says, look, I made you fitly framed. I made you to have fellowship with me. And it takes you to a new life of, well, like you said, I'm trying to control my life. I'm trying to direct my path. You know, I'm a man. I'm able to do these things, and I'm able to go way beyond. But then Pastor Shiloh said the one thing is we learn the teachings. We learn discipleship. We learn to lay down our life. Mm-hmm. Boy, is this the most amazing thing that has happened to me lately. And I'm just so amazed that when you shut up and listen to what God says, It said, God said, I'll make you and take you places that you've never been. Man, I was a sailor going all over the seas and having this life and thought that this was my life. You know, then I became a salesman doing all this stuff. Boy, this life of Christ is way more exciting than you could ever imagine. Ever.
Yeah.
And now, taking up that cross, I'm fixing to go to Poland for 6 weeks. And, whew, I was nervous. I still am. I'm excited to what has taken place. But I know that if I didn't lay down that old life, I would never have this new life that's in Christ. Thank you, pastors, for teaching.
No, well, that's another good point, Pastor Love, that the teaching of the cross. Let's Galatians 6:15, like, God forbid that I should glory in anything but the cross. What would you say if the Apostle Paul came here and went to different churches and listened and, like, related to the Christian community today in the 21st century? Would he say, I think that he would like to hear more about the cross taught in the congregation?
Yeah, absolutely. When, again, I can only make reference to my own life, but when we came into this ministry, that was something that was so appealing to our hearts, was that you didn't hear that message. And we didn't hear it a lot. You could find it for sure, but, and of course, initially, my first sense was, this is too much. We're talking about losing my life here.
Yeah.
Instinctively, Adam, the first Adam, wants to save his life, wants to keep it.
Yeah.
Who could have imagined that by losing your life, you were going to find it?
Yeah.
And that's what we entered into, and that's because of the, you mentioned it, the consistent teaching of the cross brought us to a place where this is a secret that so many believers don't seem to understand.
I mean, it was part of our vocabulary.
Absolutely.
And still is, but, I mean, our pastor did a really good job of, like maybe 6 months straight, there was a period in our ministry where just every message was on that subject.
Yeah, it was the focal point of the message.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and it brought, and it still does, of course, bring salvation, but it just, I feel bad for the believer who thinks that what Christ did was only going to result in their salvation from condemnation and damnation and being sent to hell. And that's, you know, we've used the illustration before, but that's like getting married just for the wedding day.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? I mean, you're not getting married just for that day. And I mean, it's a splendid day. It's glorious. It's wonderful. But you're marrying that person because you're going to spend the rest of your life with them. That's what discipleship becomes for the believer. It's the rest of your life. It's, you're going to grow. You're going to adventure. You're going to learn. You're going to have great times of challenge and great times of victory. But that's what the life is all about. And that's what Jesus said, I can give you.
Yeah.
But you got to take up your cross.
Yes. Yes. If a church is saying, okay, Jesus came to give you peace, he's the Prince of Peace, yes, he forgave you of your sins, and maybe even, you speak in tongues, like at Pentecost, or, you know, what else would they could teach about being a good citizen and so on. And what is lacking in all the teaching, what is it that's lacking?
The cross.
Yeah.
Losing your life.
I mean, really.
I think of the Old Testament illustration of the bondservant that after a number of years of serving his master was released. He was free. He could go.
Yeah, you could go.
But what he discovered was, I'm not going to enjoy this newfound freedom without the one who set me free.
Yeah.
The believer has that same approach, that same attitude.
Yes.
This
yes.
is a new life. How can yeah. I enjoy this new life without the one who gave it to me
mm-hmm.
and liberated me to begin with? Mm-hmm. And then you can stop and reason this way. Well, if he loved me enough to set me free and give me this new life, I'd be foolish to walk away from him and not to experience this new life with him.
Yeah,
I get to walk with God now. Not only is he my Savior, but I can be his friend, and we can fellowship, and we can walk together through this journey.
Yeah, you know, I think of a man with a problem. Let's make one up. He's infatuated with a woman, he stalks her. He stalks her, which is a criminal thing, okay? But he can't help it because he has this thing going on in his heart. So he could say, you know, I hate this, but I love it, you know. I hate it, but there's something about it that has gripped me, and it's something I do, you know. I'm stalking this girl. Another one could be an alcohol addiction. I hate it. I hate waking up Saturday morning, finding out how much money I spent the next day with a headache, and I hate it, but then I love it. You know, I'm not giving it up. You know, it's my friend. No, I'm getting rid of it, but then there's a little room, secret room in my heart, a secret room in my heart for that thing that I am caught by. I've caught. And so why don't those people have power over that vice? Why don't they have the power? And there's an answer. What is that?
I hope it's because they haven't taken up their cross.
Yeah, they can't have a funeral service and a ceremony for that thing because they don't let it die. They cannot deal with that. They do not go to the cross. It's almost like a cross without death, or, you know, I'll put it away for a while. I'll put it away, but it's got to be somewhere I can get my hands on it because I want that thing. I want that thing. Unless you give it up. Same with your family members. Same with your relationships. Same with things that you love. Can you bring them to the cross? What is the cross? It's not rehab. It's death. Mm. You know, mm. It's not managing a vice. It's a crucifixion.
Wow. When you just shared that thought, I'm thinking of Jesus saying to his disciples and to anyone who would be a disciple, you know, don't think that I've come to bring peace.
Yeah, right.
There but a sword.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah, really.
That's incredible. I mean, when I first read that as a believer, I thought, what?
Yeah.
He wants to divide my family. He wants to separate a son from his father, a daughter from their mother. But sometimes that, I think that spoke of the cross, that becomes necessary for the real peace to enter into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
The natural has to be replaced with the supernatural, the spiritual. And then the life of God begins to flow from the inside out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. We want to ask this question, Pastor Schaller, before we close the broadcast today. What happens to the Christian who doesn't want to or refuses to take up their cross?
They will live but without the power that we're talking about. They can manage judicially. You know, the Epicurean was somebody who managed his appetite. He kind of controlled his appetites. And that's how he lives. He feels he can manage his life. And great, you know. But there's another way, and that's that surrender. You know, the cross is very it's traumatizing. It's death. It's torture. Death. It's And Jesus was obedient to the Father, and he did what he did. And it's a model for us as to what we need to do with our sin nature. And you can't play games with your sin nature. It's like the Leviathan in the book of Job. You cannot put it on a leash, cannot manage it. It has to die.
Wow. It's fascinating when you think that when it comes to salvation, it's offered, and God essentially is saying, it's your choice.
Mm.
And then once you make that choice, let's say you make that choice to accept Christ as your Savior, then you're challenged to become a disciple.
Mm.
But still, God invites those who are contemplating it, it's your choice.
Sure.
He always gives us that choice.
Yeah.
He's not going to force salvation upon anyone, and he's not going to force discipleship on anyone. We've got to exercise our choice.
Well, you could say it another little different, but it's the same. It's like you must be born again. That's salvation. But if you will be my disciple, so that's more room for you not to do it. But there is no room regarding salvation. You must be born again. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's your choice, mm-hmm. like you said.
Yeah.
But this is a necessity to be born again, to believe in Christ, to be saved. Mm-hmm. After being saved, now it's more room for you to be or not to be mm-hmm. a disciple. And when you learn discipleship by the messages and by processing, you know, missing a bus, self-pity, jealousy, your own thoughts, your own decisions, where you live, who you marry, what you do, how you live. When you learn to bring these things before God with a real surrender in your heart to God's will, I want to do your will, and you find the fellowship with God to be real, then you are being persuaded.
How would you help a person to understand this statement that the compensation of discipleship far outweighs the cost?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what God gives you in return for becoming a disciple, for your willingness to lose your life and to take up your cross, it seems like the cost, once you've done it, the cost is like nothing.
Yeah,
because then that with that discipleship comes the floodgates of grace that empowers you and enables you and fills you.
Yeah.
You're not losing anything. You're gaining so much more than what you might have been able to preserve and keep for yourself.
Yeah, I know one way to say it a little differently, which is if you talk to a disciple, you have an interview with somebody who's walked for decades with God, taking up the cross, and you just say to him, would you ever like to live another way? Like if you had 100 lives, would you like to live them differently from the way you live this one? And he would say, no, I'm fully persuaded that this is the only way to live a meaningful life is to take up the cross.
Wow.
And if I had 100 more lives to live, every one of them would be lived, I would live it this way. That's the kind of clarity in the heart and in the mind that people have that walk with Christ as a disciple. Why, really? Don't you want to live your own way, make your own decisions, live your own life? You know? And you say, you know, I could, and most people do, but I've found a secret. I've found something satisfying. I've found the presence of God in my life over and over again as a part of my life. I have a confidence that he is with me in life.
Wow. And we could also say, I did that. I lived that way.
Yeah.
I called the shots.
Yeah, right.
And it brought me to a place of despair and misery and heartache and brokenness. So we could also say, I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt, but it left me empty. But this life, as you said, well, I mean, we can say that.
Yeah.
No regrets.
Yes.
No
yes,
regrets.
Yes.
And that's with, you know, having taken up our cross. Now, what about this question? You know, some believers say, well, I'm not concerned about the Bema seat. That's, I don't care about that. I know that I'm saved, and I believe that Christ died for me and paid for my sins. I've accepted him as my Savior. I'm not interested in rewards, not concerned about a Bema seat evaluation. How would we respond to someone with that kind of an approach?
Yeah, I would say John 15 says that you're a branch that abides in the vine, that you bear fruit, and then it says more fruit, and then much fruit, thereby your heavenly Father will be glorified. So why, what's your vision in your mission statement for your life? It is that I could glorify God, that my life is, I'm living this life so that we could glorify God. And if it means more fruit, or much fruit, more fruit, then that in this way we glorify God. So that's an honor that that your life will glorify God. And somebody who says the other thing, like, well, I'm good, I'm fine, you know, I don't need anything more than what I have. It's like, yeah, of course, that's fine, but you know what your life means. Your life is about you living your life in some a way that's nice for you. But when you walk with God and you start to think in terms of what glorifies God, wow, what gives him more glory and honor for who he is, you know. So I'm in that game, and that other person is not caring about it.
Mm.
Is that what you meant?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And when your life glorifies God, it's like you come to that conclusion, this is why I exist.
Yeah.
This is why God made me.
Yeah.
This is why I'm breathing and living here on the earth.
Yeah, which is purpose, and that means a lot to us as people. We are always wondering, like, what's the point and what's the purpose, and what is the whole duty of man? What are we here for? But it's really for another, and that's not me. It's for God. God made us, and not we ourselves.
Amen. Just some great thoughts on what it means to take up your cross. It's not the just dealing with the details of life. Everybody goes through those things. So I think it's important that when we talk about what it means to pick up your cross, that this is a choice. That it's not just life happening to you. It's you deciding that you're going to move in the direction that God has ordained for your life. And you're no longer going to, you know, go in your direction.
Yes.
To go back to that statement that you meant, Jesus said it, not my will be done. That Adam said, my will be done.
Yeah.
And Christ came along, the second Adam, and said, not my will, but right. Thy will be done. Mm. And that can't happen, can it, without you taking up your cross.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm.
Well, we've reached the end of another broadcast here, friends, on the Grace Hour. For those of you that joined us on the chat, thank you so much, Brian and Carol, Loretta, Madeline. We really appreciate your thoughts, and it seems like you've all said amen to what you were hearing and listening to today on the broadcast. Thanks so much for joining us today, friends. So we want you to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, and more. And stay tuned. Coming up in a little less than 24 hours from now, the next Grace Hour broadcast. And those here in the studio will be dealing with what it means to follow Jesus. That's the last of the principles that we're going to be talking about from Matthew 16:24. So be sure to tune in tomorrow at the same time and catch the next Grace Hour broadcast. Thanks. God bless you.